Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is, what is this? Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. And with me today, I have my schedule advisor, Brian Chaffin. How are you?
Oh my! You're in trouble, sir.
I know. I didn't even know what day it was.
Man. Yeah. If I'm your schedule advisor, you are in trouble.
Yes, indeed. And also, probably a better choice for my schedule advisor, Dave Hamilton. How are you?
I am enjoying this last day of the first quarter of the year.
Is it the Ides of March yet?
Almost. Just another 11 and a half months to go.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh, see, Brian, so you're like ahead of schedule. Go you.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that would be Casper Mattresses, which is absolutely awesome because I love their mattresses. That would be casper.com/TDO. Get yourself $50 off a mattress. We'll be talking about them more soon. But first, Brian, I thought we could talk about a piece you wrote yesterday. And this is the news of a new streaming music service called Tidal.
Yeah, it's not technically new. They actually launched in October in the U.S., but they had a media event yesterday to signify the, you know, like the real kickoff push, the soft launch in October.
Yeah. I mean, so I think it's important to note that nobody seems to be acknowledging this. We'll talk about the details of Tidal, but this push yesterday really was the announcement that a bunch of artists led, I believe, by Jay-Z, but I think they've all got a stake in it, purchased Tidal back just about 2 months ago, right? So when it launched in the U.S., it was owned by its previous company, and I can't even remember. Their name begins with a W. But Jay-Z bought it back in January and now has branded Tidal as a streaming music service coming to you from and owned by artists, which is not a bad thing, but they didn't invent it. They invented the idea of a streaming music service from artists and then spent money to make that happen, which is, you know, potato, potato. Right. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with this, but we should acknowledge that Jay-Z hasn't been working on this for 4 years, right? It's somebody else created this service. And other than one minor change, which I think we'll talk about here, I don't think they've changed a whole lot, at least in terms of the customer-facing side of this, other than one change that we'll talk about. So it's a music service owned by the artists, which on the surface actually is a really good thing, I think.
All right, so as a music listener, why would I want to listen to Tidal as opposed to Spotify or Pandora or iTunes Radio?
Do you want me to answer that one, Brian, or you want to take it?
I'll start it, and you can kick in if you have something else to add. There's two reasons for that. One is ostensibly the idea that you're paying for a lossless stream. You're paying for a higher quality stream. That's one of the things that they're pitching as their value add. They are also, however, pitching the idea that because it's artist-owned, they're going to be restoring the value in music. And that is, I think, where their pitch gets a little bit sticky. Which one do we want to talk about first, though? The technical, the things that they're doing, the features?
Yeah, let's talk about the technical stuff, sure. So you're right. The Tidal Hi-Fi service, which is what launched in October, is $20 a month, so $20 US, twice the price of Spotify for a single user kind of experience, right? And it is Spotify for $10 a month gives you 320 kbps compressed MP3s that they stream to your home, and you can actually go lower than that if you choose. If you're streaming to, say, your iPhone, you can actually have it stream lower with Spotify so that you're not using up as much bandwidth and et cetera. And then Tidal Hi-Fi, which is what launched in the fall, streams lossless, so CD quality or better. They say that if they have a 24-bit 96K stream, that they will send that to you. I haven't experienced that, A, because it doesn't matter, and B, because I use Sonos, and Sonos, the DACs that Sonos puts in are 16-bit 44.1K DACs, which are CD quality. So lossless quality, And there is something to be said for that. You know, there are some things where you could probably tell the difference between a 320K MP3 and lossless. Not many, however, but there are some.
It's going to depend on your equipment and your ears.
It's going to depend on your equipment. It's going to depend on the source material. It's going to depend on how the source been, which means how the source material was both recorded and mastered. And yes, to some degree, yeah, of course, your ears, and how what you've learned to pay attention to. Rock and roll recordings, for the most part, you're probably, even with trained ears, you're probably not going to notice the difference because they're mastered and compressed in a way that the conversion to MP3 at that high of a quality level, and yes, 320K is pretty darn high for an MP3, won't make a difference. But, you know, you take some classical stuff or jazz, and I've always preferred Dave Brubeck's Time Out as my test album, and it seems most of the music industry has chosen that as well. So that's that one. Yeah, you can, if you're listening for certain things, you can hear the difference. But it's good to stream high quality music. We have the bandwidth these days. We have all the storage space for it if you want to cache it. So it's great that Tidal is doing that. However, yesterday, along with this announcement that they did, which I'm sure we'll dig into, they also announced what they call Tidal Premium, which is $10 a month and 320K BPS MP3s, just like Spotify. So if you don't care about high quality, you can pay the same as Spotify. And if you like their business model better, or you like their offering better for whatever reason, you can go with Tidal instead of Spotify for exactly the same price.
I question the naming scheme, but that's a topic for another discussion, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're also doing, in addition to the opportunity to get the high fidelity streams, you do also get human curated playlists as well as human curated editorials. Still not actually sure what exactly that entails. I would imagine that most people would be more interested in the playlists. And Dave, you have some experience there.
I do. I have actually had an account with Tidal not since they launched, but for a couple of months. In fact, they gave me a 4-month free trial, and I realized today that I have slightly less than a month left, and I'm a little sad about that, actually, largely because of the curated playlists. I've tried Beats. I've tried, Spotify's sort of weird in that regard, and I've tried Tidal. I've tried actually lots of different music services. The playlists, the curated playlists on Tidal are fantastic.
Why?
Just the song choices, the way they've put it all together. We've really found that, and I say we, I mean my entire family, we've found that we like a lot of the stuff that's in there. They've got, they put together a playlist of a couple of different magazines. Rolling Stone was one of them. I think Enemy was the other, of their top songs of all time. And they've got, college radio from the 80s playlists and just everything that we have listened to on. They've got some great jazz playlists that they've put together. The people that have put these playlists together have really spent time. It's a taste thing, right? So I'm not going to say they're the only ones doing it right, but they're the ones that have done it in a way that appeals to me.
And ironically, that's all I can speak to.
Yeah.
Supposed to be one of the things that Apple purchased with Beats.
I hate the Beats playlist. I tried. I mean, they just don't speak to me. So there you go.
All right. So what I get for the money I'm paying at Tidal, if I were to pay, would be the potential for higher quality audio and some potentially really great curated playlists.
Yeah. And again, that's going to be the second part of that is most definitely a personal preference thing. I can tell you all day long how much better Tidal is because they have better playlists, but it's irrelevant to everyone but actually me what my feeling is on that.
Sure.
Right. I mean, that's just how that works. So, yeah. But I like them, and they're constantly adding new ones, but they're not adding, 700 a day, so you could actually go through and pick the ones that you want without feeling information overload, which I think is something that happens with these other services. It's just like every day these things are changing. It's like, what's going on? I feel overwhelmed. That part, I can say for everyone, they are doing well.
Oh my God, I had a thought and it's gone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased about that.
And it was probably the best thought ever.
So there was a lot of squawking about this.
Yeah.
From a lot of different sources.
But a and lot from Gawker, but okay.
Well, yeah, Sam Biddle wrote a just kind of way too much of a reaction for what this deserved. But at the same time, it was a really weird media event.
Oh, man.
So
yes, it was. Yeah,
Let me slow down a little bit and remind everyone of our barometer for what makes a good media event, right? And I don't just mean those of us in the tech industry, but certainly those of us in the tech industry are, you know, we've watched Steve Jobs.
No, it's not about that though, Dave. It's about the, I mean, like, what was the signing ceremony supposed to be?
Yeah, that was weird. Well, it's a bad choice.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was weird. It's not that it was bad, is the parts of this thing were weird.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to make a statement. These are people that, you know, Alicia Keys did. So the media event basically consisted of them introducing all of the artists that were on board with this. And there's lots of them, right? You know, there was, mentioned Jay-Z.
It was a procession coming out onto that stage.
Alicia Keys, Kanye West, Madonna was there.
Daft Punk.
Right. Jason Aldean, I believe, right?
Jack White.
Yep.
Rihanna. Yep. And about five or six more.
Yeah. And I'm going to apologize for my fax machine ringing. There's just nothing I'm going to do about it right now. So, yeah. So, they're right. Yeah, that's fine. So, there is a lot of people, big names, which is fine, great, you know, draw some attention. And then Alicia Keys went and read a canned speech that was being displayed in time on the screen behind her. And clearly, Alicia Keys isn't necessarily the best person to read a canned speech.
Well, it wasn't a very good speech either.
No, it wasn't.
No.
Right. She made.
No, but that aside, I think they had a messaging problem too, because I think that some of their messaging is that we don't make enough money from streaming services, and we're going to change that because we own this. Now, I'm actually quite sympathetic to part of that because streaming services typically pay artists diddly. Nothing.
Right.
People are getting something for relatively nothing, and it turns out that means that the artists get paid relatively nothing.
Imagine how the math works.
Imagine, exactly.
But I'm not convinced the math's going to be a whole lot different here, right? I mean, they didn't talk about their model in terms of basically their one sole reason why this was going to be better than everything else is that they are artists that own this.
Well, see, and that's where I start getting a little bit, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it wasn't just me confused with that.
No.
Because this is going to be good for these artists.
Well,
because they're going to be making some of the cut that the tiny cut that Spotify would otherwise make.
That's correct. But, you know, I think their message, the inference was because we're artists, we understand the plight of the starving artist and we love music and therefore we're going to do everything right and make sure that the people who were starving on Spotify actually get real money. You know, there was a video that they showed after at the end of the press conference, and you can watch it online at Tidal.com. Yeah, I think it was Jay-Z who said, you know, we're artists doing this. We're not some tech company making software or hardware. You know, we're the artists that are doing this, and we're the ones that should be in charge of this. And Madonna sort of wrapped that up by saying something along the lines of somehow things got shifted and pushed the artist into the background, and now we have to come forward. So that was this constant message of, you know, we're in this for the artist. And maybe they are, right? I mean, but I don't. They spent $56 million on this thing. They're not going to just give that money away. They want to make a profit back.
There's two aspects of that. The first aspect is that having the few artists who were actually fabulously rich from music talking about how this is going to restore the balance on in terms of money and how it's better for the artist, that to me is a hard message to sell.
Right. I'm with
you. Unless they're actually doing something for the little guys that are out there too.
Well, you
and
know,
they could be, but I kind of doubt that that's the case.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, they clearly took a shot at Apple, right, when they said they were not some tech company that makes hardware or software doing this, you know, which is fine. I mean, they should take a shot at Apple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But the interesting thing is when you look at what Apple does now, we don't have a lot of the – Apple isn't regularly public about their data with in terms of artists with streaming, but they are extremely public with how much of a cut – say developers get on a platform that they created. So they're a software company that understands the plight of a software developer and comes out and explains exactly how your app is going to make you money as a developer, right? And they talk about this all the time. And certainly there's plenty of developers out there that are starving. The ones that are making a modest living are actually a fair number, I believe. If you're willing to put the time in and make a decent app and factor a moderate amount of good fortune into that, you can make a living. And then there's some that, you know, get featured or for whatever reason, you know, skyrocket and, you know, instant millionaires. But Apple's upfront about that. Why isn't this okay? So now we have Tidal and we have the artists running it and we understand the artists. And so where's the cat, right? I mean, show us the numbers. Show me the money.
That's the other aspect of that makes me tense, suspect.
Yeah.
Because part of the reason why artists don't make any money from the streaming services is that the money all funnels through the labels. So this is a lot about who owns the rights to what.
Right. And that
title and of course, there isn't all that much money. You know, there isn't really a large pie.
No, and Tidal's not making that pie any bigger, right? I mean, they in fact they cut their pie in half yesterday. The percentage of people that are going to sign up for Tidal Hi-Fi,
small
compared to those that are going to sign up for some, not necessarily Tidal's, but some $10 music service, is small. And now Tidal is cannibalizing their own Hi-Fi service by offering exactly the same benefits minus the lossless audio for half the price.
So, but they are still presenting the curated playlist.
That's what I mean. You're getting all the benefits of Tidal for $10 as long as you either care or are playing on a system where it doesn't matter if you're playing lower quality files.
I think that's all right, though, because most people don't care about hi-fi streaming.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but where's the extra money coming from that's going to go to the artist now?
Correct. Well, but it's not going to go to the artist. It's going to go to them. It's going to go to those artists who actually own this place. And that, to me, is why it's a hard sell.
It might.
Sorry, Jeff. I interrupted you.
Yeah, we don't.
Okay, first, they needed to hire a good marketing agency to help them present their case because they clearly didn't do a good job of that.
Right.
I mean, for all we know, they're going to do some sort of profit sharing with...
Yeah. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, to be honest with you. I'm not in this to, you know, to vivisect them. I really, they do have an opportunity here, and they're potentially the right people to be doing this, but they need to show us what they're actually doing. That's the question. And I'll reserve judgment other than the fact that they didn't tell us what they were doing, and so I will judge them on that. But I will reserve judgment for what they are doing until we find out what that is.
Yeah, and which kind of comes back to where we started this, and that's the fact that you like the service.
I do. I started liking the service. But, you know, I got into this before Jay-Z bought it, right? I was using Tidal 3 months ago. So there you go. End of December was when I signed up.
All right, so Jay-Z hasn't done anything that would make you prefer this service over any other. It was already that way.
Correct. Which is smart. He bought a good service. I mean, let's give the guy some credit. Right?
Sure.
Yeah, and this is the flip side of that is that they're not a technology or they're not a hardware and software company.
Right.
So you know, because they said that as a dig, but the reality is that the flip side of that dig is that they couldn't do it because they're not a hardware or software company.
Yep. That's absolutely true.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so yeah. What does this mean in terms of taking Tidal the service and evolving it You know, we had a, I mean, clearly they, in my opinion, it's pretty obvious how I feel. They had a great start. I liked what they were doing, you know, but now, you know, they've taken that management and bought them out. So where's Tidal going to be in a year? Great, they're funneling money to the artists. Maybe, right? We still need to know. But technically, what's happening over there? Who's driving that vision?
Yeah, right. I don't, Dave, I don't think that they can funnel money to the artists.
I know, because there's not money to funnel. I know.
Not only is there not money to funnel, but all the stuff is tied up in licensing deals that artists have almost no control over.
Right.
So okay, I don't,
yeah, and see, that's something that I was very curious about. I mean, how can they possibly think they're going to be able to get more money for artists with this service?
But when, and they didn't
the
claim
licensing
that they would.
Deals are already in place.
They just claimed that it would be better because it's owned by artists. They didn't actually say because we're going to funnel money to artists to you know. So not we're not putting words in their mouth here. They did not claim that they that because that their service is going to make artists more money. They said that they would reestablish the value of music, and that they, the artists, would be in charge of the service, and that that is somehow better.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay,
yeah,
okay,
it was just really an unclear presentation, right?
Yeah, it was very unclear.
I don't question their motives, but we also don't, I mean, other than this very sort of touchy-feely, you know, thing, we don't really know what their motives are.
No, we don't. And it'll be interesting to see what impact this has on Apple's plans for their own streaming music service that they're doing with everything they bought from Beats, and how the other streaming music services will react. I mean, what I'm hoping is that this turns into something that that creates more competition in a positive way, and ultimately, as consumers, we end up with better streaming music services for it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and I just looked at the clock. We're out of time, which is crazy. So, and when I say we're out of time, we're almost out of time because we still have time to talk about Casper.
Awesome.
Well, we should.
As well we should, because Casper rocks. So Casper, they make mattresses, and I absolutely love these mattresses. And this is coming from someone that has tried mattresses, several different mattresses over the years, trying to find something to help me sleep better, because sleep, it's no secret, is not something that comes easy to me. And once I had a Casper mattress, man, what a big difference this has made in my life. I am sleeping so much better than I was. And going to bed at night is no longer one of those things where I'm like, well, maybe tonight I can get some sleep. And now it's a matter of, well, I'm going to get some sleep. I wonder how much it will be. That's a huge thing for me, and that's a big positive improvement. And I absolutely love that. I mean, this is absolutely wonderful investment. And I love that they offer prices that are far more affordable than other mattress makers. So you can get these really high-quality, multi-layered foam mattresses that are just wonderfully comfortable at a substantial discount compared to their competitors. I have the queen-size mattress. It costs $850. And a comparable mattress somewhere else is going to cost you well over $1,000. And I'm in case you can't pick it up from my voice, I'm really happy to have one of these mattresses. And while you can't typically climb into my bed with me, you can get the same bed and have the same experience. And I think you should.
Alone. You can have the same alone experience that you have alone.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Because if they climbed into bed with you, it would be a different experience.
It would be a very shared experience.
Yeah.
They could have a shared experience with someone else besides Jeff.
Right.
Also.
That's up to you to sort out. That's right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, Casper's not going to get involved in that. But no. You know what?
Nor are we.
No, but
who
what
am
Casper,
I to judge?
Casper does get involved in is the way that there's no showroom. The showroom is your bedroom. And by that, I mean you don't have to lay for 2 minutes on a bed to decide in some fluorescent lit room with kids like picking at your feet. You get to lay in your bed in your bedroom because Casper ships you the mattress with a 100-day return policy.
And I love that. And and actually, they won't let you return it right away if you don't like it, because it takes a while to adjust to a mattress.
Yeah.
So you know, if in the first 30 days you don't like it, well, it might be because you just haven't figured out how it works for you. After that 30 days, if you don't like it, okay, now you have up to 100 days to send it back.
Yep.
But there's a good chance that you're not going to send it back. I would be very surprised if you do. So
yeah, I'd love to know their return rate number. I'm sure it's super low.
It's tiny.
It's got to be. Yeah, we could be. Well, I mean, listen, here's the way it works, right? If you want it, if you want to send the mattress back, you tell them and it costs you nothing and, it, and back it goes. So if that doesn't show you how confident they are that you are going to like this, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what else does.
Yeah.
Tell them how they can save money, Jeff.
I can totally tell you how you can save money. What you need to do is go to casper.com/TDO and then use the discount code TDO. And you're going to get $50 off your mattress purchase. And you get free shipping. So it doesn't matter what size mattress you want to order, $50 off. So in my case, you could buy the $850 mattress that I'm using. And it's only going to cost you $800 free shipping. Absolutely fantastic. So delivered right to your door. And you pop it out of the box. And within about 5 minutes, you can climb on it and go to sleep. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So casper.com/TDO, use the discount code TDO and get your $50 discount and start sleeping better right away. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week. Absolutely rocks. And Dave and Brian, thank you for joining me today and bringing your insights into the streaming music industry. I absolutely appreciate that too.
Thanks for having us, man.
Fun show.
Oh, yeah. And listeners, thank you for joining us. Head over to the iTunes store and rate our show, because I always love getting your feedback, and getting it at the iTunes store also helps us there too. So please go do that. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.